Five Ukrainians, not Russians.
Before we wrap up the show, I wanted to say something from my heart about the ongoing political crisis in Ukraine and Russia's military occupation of Crimea. Just because I work here for RT doesn't mean I don't have editorial independence. And I can't stress enough how strongly I am against any state intervention in a sovereign nation's affairs. What Russia did is wrong. I admittedly don't know as much as I should about Ukraine's history or the cultural dynamics of the region, but what I do know is that military intervention is never the answer. And I will not sit here and apologize or defend military aggression. Furthermore, the coverage I've seen of Ukraine has been truly disappointing from all sides of the media spectrum and rife with disinformation. Above all, my heart goes out to the Ukrainian people, who are now wedged as pawns in the middle of a global power chess game. They're the real losers here. All we can do now is hope for a peaceful outcome for a terrible situation and prevent another full-blown Cold War between multiple superpowers. Until then, I'll keep telling the truth as I see it. Have a good night, everyone. I'll see you back here to break the set tomorrow.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, madam. This is again the External Action Service.
Yes, hello.
Hello. Should we go, you think it's going to be possible straight away?
To connect to Mr.
Yes.
Bart. Yes.
So, please go on. I'm connecting with the Lady Ashton cabinet.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, hello, this is Miriam speaking.
Yes, it is for the conference with the Estonian Foreign Minister. They are online. Please stay on.
Hello. Yes, hello. Can you put me through, please?
Yes, I will connect it to Minister Pat. One moment.
Thank you. Hello, Minister.
Hello.
Hi, I put you through. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
And you?
I'm good. I just wanted to catch up with you on what you thought when you were there.
Okay, yes. I returned last night already,
yeah.
So that I was one day.
Yeah. Impressions?
Impressions are sad. Mm-hmm. I met with the representatives of Regions Party, also new coalition representatives and also civil society. There is this lady called Olga who is the head of the doctors.
Olga.
Yes,
yeah,
you know her.
Yeah, I do.
Yes, so that, well, my impression is in this sense sad that there is, well, no trust towards also these politicians who will return now to the coalition. Well, people from Maidan and from civil society, they say that they know everybody who will be in new government. All these guys have dirty past.
Yeah.
so that, well, they made some proposals to the same Olga and some others from civil society to join new government. But this Olga, for example, she says directly that she's ready to go to the government only in the case if she can take with her team foreign experts to start real healthcare reforms. So that, well, basically it is that the trust level is absolutely low. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, all these security problems, these integrity problems, Crimea, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Regions Party was absolutely upset. They say that, well, they accept this, that now there will be new government and there will be extraordinary elections, but there is enormous pressure against the members of parliament. That there are uninvited visitors during the night to party members. Well, some journalists who were with me, they saw during the day that one member of parliament was just beaten in front of the parliament building by these guys with the guns on the streets.
Yeah.
So that all this mess is still there. And of course, this Olga and others from civil society, they were absolutely sure that people will not leave the streets before they see that the real reforms will start. So that it's not enough that there is just change of government. So that is the main impression. So that from EU's and also, well, Estonia's point of view, of course, we should ready to put this financial package together, also together with others.
Yeah.
This very clear message is needed that it's not enough that there is change of government, but the same real reforms, real, you know, action to increase the level of trust. Otherwise, well, it will end badly.
Yeah.
Because the Regions Party also said that, well, you will see that if the people from the eastern part of Ukraine will really wake up and will start to demand their rights. Some people also with me, they were in Donetsk. Their people said that, well, we can't wait how long still the occupation of Ukraine lasts in Donetsk.
Yeah.
That it is real Russian city, and we'd like now to see that, well, Russia will take over. So that, well, short impressions.
No, very, very interesting. I've just had a big meeting here with Olli Rehn and the other commissioners to talk about what we can do. I mean, we're working on financial packages, short, medium, long term. Everything from how we get money in quickly, how we support the IMF, and how we get a kind of investment packages and business leaders and so on. On the political side, we've worked out resources we've got, and I offered to civil society and to Yatsenyuk and Klitschko and everybody I met yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We can offer you people who know how to do political and economic reform. The countries that are closest to Ukraine have themselves been through dramatic changes and have done big political and economic reforms. So we've got loads of experience to give you, which we're happy to give. I've said to the people in Maidan, yes, you want real reforms, but you've got to get through the short term first. So you need to find ways in which you can establish a process that will have anti-corruption at its heart, that will have people working alongside until the elections, and that you can be confident in the process. And I said to Olga, you may not be health minister now, but you need to think about becoming health minister in the future, because people like you are going to be needed to be able to get and make sure that happens. But I've also said to them, if you simply barricade the buildings now, and the government doesn't function, we can't get money in, because we need a partner to partner with.
Absolutely.
And I've said to the the opposition leaders shortly to become government, you need to reach out to Maidan, you need to be, you know, engaging with them. You also need to get ordinary police officers back on the streets under a new sense of their role, so that people feel safe. I said to the Party of the Regions people, you have to go and lay flowers where the people died. You have to show you understand what has happened here.
Absolutely.
Because what you're experiencing is anger of people who've seen the way that Yanukovych lived and the corruption, and they assume you're all the same. And also the people who've lost people and who feel that, you know, he ordered that to happen. There's quite a lot of shock, I think, in the city, a lot of sadness and shock, and that's going to come out in some very strange ways if they're not careful. So I think all of this we just have to work on. So we've done a big meeting here today to try and get this in place. But, yeah, but very interesting, your observation.
It is. And, actually, the only politician the people from civil society mentioned positively was Poroshenko.
Yeah.
So that he has some sort of, how to say, trust among all these Maidan people and civil society. And second, what was quite disturbing, the same Olga told that, well, all the evidence shows that people who were killed by snipers from both sides, among policemen and people from the streets, that they were the same snipers killing people from both sides.
Well, that's, yeah.
So that, and then she also showed me some photos. She said that has medical doctor. She can, you know, say that it is the same handwriting, the same type of bullets. And it's really disturbing that now the new coalition, that they don't want to investigate what exactly happened. So that there is now stronger and stronger understanding that behind snipers, it was not Yanukovych, but it was somebody from the new coalition.
I think they do want to investigate. I mean, I didn't pick that up. That's interesting. Gosh.
Yeah. So that it was, in this sense, disturbing that if it starts now to live its own life very powerfully, that it already discredits from very beginning also this new coalition.
I mean, this is what they've got to be careful of as well, that they need to demand great change, but they've got to let the Rada function. If the Rada doesn't function, then
absolutely
complete chaos. So it's all, you know, being an activist and a doctor is very, very important, but it means you're not a politician. And somehow they've got to come to a kind of accommodation for the next few weeks with how the country's actually going to run. And then we get the elections and things can change. And that's, I think, going to be quite important. I'm planning to go back early next week, probably on Monday.
It's really important that now people from Europe and also West show up there, so that it's absolutely.
Well, Miroslav's going with the Visegrad group on Friday, Saturday. William Hague's on Sunday. I'll be back again Monday.
Yes, I heard also that Canadian minister is going on Friday, and yesterday also William Burns was
there.
So
we met, I saw Bill,
we met also with Burns there in Kiev yesterday.
Yeah, good. I didn't know John Bird was going. I'll get hold of him.
Okay,
my friend. Great to talk to you.
Thanks for these comments and wish you, nice Australia.
Yeah. What?
Nice Australia. Enjoy.
I am not going to go. I've got to delay it because I'm going to do more Ukraine instead.
Okay, good.
All right, my friend.
Okay.
Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
And all the best. See you. Bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm. New story this hour. The Estonian Foreign Ministry has said the leaked phone call between the EU's Catherine Ashton and the Estonian Foreign Minister is authentic. The conversation features staggering revelations, saying the snipers who were shooting at both protesters and police in Kiev were allegedly hired by someone from the former opposition. Let's get more now from RT's Peter Oliver, who joins us now. Peter, pretty striking accusations there.
Well, yes, what we've heard from the Estonian Foreign Ministry is a confirmation that the voices on this phone call are that of their own foreign minister, as well as Catherine Ashton, the EU foreign policy chief. Now, during this phone call, they discussed that all of those people, so many people that were killed just behind me on Independence Square, were killed on the orders not of Viktor Yanukovych's government, of the riot police that he was in charge of, but on the orders of a third party. And the Estonian foreign minister puts that third party as one of the current members of the current government that is taken over here in Kiev. We can hear a little bit of that phone call right now to see exactly what they were talking about.
Well, the evidence shows that people who were killed by snipers from both sides, among policemen and people from the streets, that they were the same snipers killing people from both sides.
Well, that's...
It's the same handwriting, the same type of bullets, and it's really disturbing that now the new coalition, that they don't want to investigate what exactly happened, so that there is now stronger and stronger understanding that behind snipers, it was not Yanukovych, but it was somebody from the new coalition.
Well, Peter, that must be a real blow for a lot of people. You know, you would assume with this kind of leak coming out that this changes the game. What do you think the EU will do with this information? What will be their next move?
Well, the EU as a body, if this turns out and they agree that this is what's happened, they're going to have to change their tack when it comes to how they're dealing with what goes on in Ukraine. We've seen time and time again senior EU foreign ministers and officials on the stage just behind me on Independence Square, all calling for this revolution, all calling for this type of the overthrowing of the Yanukovych government, of Ukraine becoming closer to the European Union. They're going to have to change that. But we have seen in the past different attitudes towards the EU and the way that they've handled it. We heard very disparaging remarks from a senior US diplomat, Victoria Nuland, how she referred to the EU during a discussion with the over the telephone there. So if this turns out to be the case, the EU will definitely need to have to rethink and perhaps change the way that they look at the situation that's unfolding here in Ukraine.
Well, certainly we'll be hearing more opinions and of what comes out of this conversation and how the EU will move forward within Ukraine. That was Peter Oliver there from Kiev on RT International.
Thank you, President. I want to condemn the brutal state violence against peaceful protesters in Kiev. I defend their right to protest and the demands for democratic reform and improvement in living conditions, decent jobs and a real future. I have to point out the deep hypocrisy of the sudden conversion of Catherine Ashton and of US imperialism to the cause of peaceful protest and their criticism of their state repression. They managed to maintain complete silence while police were beating protesters off the streets from Athens to Madrid within the boundaries of the European Union. The people of Ukraine have every right to speak out in favour of signing an association agreement with the EU if they wish. But I do want to send them a warning. Just like the Putin regime, the EU leaders do not have their interests at heart. They're interested in playing a power game with the people as pawns, trying to expand the interests and the influence of the EU or Russia. An independent movement of workers and young people is needed to put those interests first and to put forward a plan for a real transformation, real democratic and socialist change. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Concorla. Minister, I think we have to be very careful not to be quick to side with the US, as happened in Libya. And I think our role in the EU is going to be an important one. I think it's ironic that the US and the EU talk about illegal invasions, and we've had Deputy Dowds talking about Russia's unacceptable aggression. It seems to me that they've learned too well from the US in terms of unacceptable aggression to other countries and have probably picked up that message. The reality here is that the tragic situation in the Ukraine has been triggered in part by the EU and NATO's drive to expand into the East. That is a fact, in my opinion. The EU's offer to the Ukraine was not a fair one. It was inherently divisive and in some ways drove Yanukovych to be more dependent on Russia. As the Minister is aware, large parts of the Ukraine were previously Russian territories and not part of historic Ukraine. So you had a very vulnerable situation there anyway. Recently, the decision to outlaw or to scrap the law allowing the Russian language to be official has caused a lot of concern and obviously destabilise the situation further. Now, this is a really, really serious scenario. In my opinion, I think the Russian-speaking majority in part of the region is as angry with the elite and corruption as is concerned about unemployment and economic stability as are people in Western Ukraine. But a clumsy intervention, if you like, is not going to sort that out. There's no doubt Yanukovych was corrupt, absolutely.
but he was elected. And I have to say, looking at the billionaires and millionaires in the new government, you can take it that corruption will not be ended by this new lot. I think a lot of the organisers behind the protests that ousted Yanukovych are clearly far-right elements with clearly an anti-Semitic agenda and so on. And I think if we're to play a credible role as a neutral country, then we have to look at the record of, if you like, neoliberal shock therapy and privatisation that's going on behind the scenes and destabilising this country, and there will not be a solution by a clumsy EU intervention in this one.
Thank you.